Well, I desire an interest in your prayers today. I am always in much need of the Lord's help, that I would be in His will and be led by His Spirit. I'd like to write on the board the subject, by the help of the Lord this morning, we'll continue our series, kind of more of a teaching type series on the ordering of our life and our home. And what I've written on the board this morning is place of assembly matters. But the overall series, again, that have been inspired with is the decisions that we make in life that have more than just a passing consequence. Something more than what flavor of ice cream am I going to choose today? And then tomorrow it really didn't matter what kind of ice cream you chose. But those decisions that tend to follow us through life, that have a consequence on our lives and our homes that we live in, decisions that, as the writer, we're not going to turn there and read again, but said in Deuteronomy, decisions that have consequences that tend to life and blessing, or sadly, in some instances, death and cursing. Decisions that result in many precious and pleasant riches in our chambers, the chambers of our lives, our hearts, our minds, the chambers of our homes, where we live, what the atmosphere, what the culture is, if you will, with the home that we live in, decisions that we make that affect these things. And to that end, again, the writer of Deuteronomy exhorts that we choose life. Since we have life and death that is before us, the scripture says, choose life. And that's at the core of the series that we've been studying. We've spoken about a number of things so far. We talked about marriage some time back and how truly that affects your life and your home for a long time. Last week we spoke about continuing steadfastly. That was a scripture we read. Continuing steadfastly in assembling ourselves together as we are here this morning. So much more as you see the day approaching. As we face the world and as we face the influences that come against us, as we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then I want to make decisions that help me be ready to meet God and help other people along the way too. And there are numerous scriptures that support the importance of making it a priority to come together in fellowship. And if you weren't able to hear last Sunday's message on that, Maybe it wouldn't hurt to listen to that and hear some of the scriptures that the Bible brings out on the importance of coming together. And also filling our place in the body of Christ. I want to do my part. Don't you want to do your part? You're special. Everyone here this morning is a very special person. The Lord has a very special place for every single person here today. He loves you, and you have a way of filling a vital role in the body of Christ that nobody else can fill. And He wants to use you. And I want to be faithful to that. We all want to be faithful to that because we need each other. So I have a question this morning to consider And it's a question that deals with a reality that we answer for ourselves in our lives and in our home. It's a question that I suppose could be, the answer to the question could be sensitive depending on how it's answered. And I want to answer it according to the will of the Lord this morning. Very much desire the Lord's help. It's a question we have to answer. It's a real question, and that is, does it matter? Does it matter where we go to worship? Does the Bible say anything about that? I have to make a decision in my home. I have to decide, where am I going to go worship? It's a real decision that people have to make. And I'm interested in my life and my home having precious and pleasant riches. Not just for myself, but for my children, for those that with whom I have influence. And so when it's up to me, and when I got out of my own, the house that I grew up in and made our own home, it was a decision that we had to make. And again, my burden is for all of us, but especially we have numerous people that are starting their own homes here in the congregation, and these are decisions that you're going to have to make. Where do I go fellowship? And does it matter as I endeavor to follow Jesus and seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, does it matter where I go? Many years ago now, starting to show my age a little bit, we made a move. We made a big move in life and moved many miles away from where we used to live. And when we did that, we had to take our children, which were young at the time, out of school. We moved to a place that we were not familiar with at all, 2,500 miles away from home. And we had to decide where they were going to go to school. And you know, that was a big decision. That was a really big decision for us. And it wasn't one that was taken lightly. And my interest was that it had to be something more than just a building that had a sign out front that said schoolhouse. Right? It had to be more than that. I was looking for a place where my children could go, where I felt like it would be safe. I want them to be safe. They're away from us. They're out. They're young. They're innocent. They're precious. We love them. And I have a spiritual analogy to make with this. So if you would think in terms of that, if you can this morning too. We loved our children. The Father in heaven loves you. And we didn't want them to just go be exposed to whatever just because there was a sign that said schoolhouse. We wanted them to go somewhere that we felt like that they would be safe. We wanted them to go somewhere where they would be able to learn. To learn. Because they had a life ahead of them. We wanted them to go somewhere that they could be encouraged. We didn't want it to be somewhere where everything that was done by everybody was always wrong, and that it was just discipline from morning till night. But that's all there was just discipline. But we wanted them to be encouraged too. We wanted them to be for there to be a balance. We wanted them to learn how to prepare for the realities of life that were going to come ahead of them, because they had lives that were very precious to us, and they were going to be having their own homes, and they were going to have to make decisions for themselves. And so what they learned as young people growing up and little people was important to us. And so we wanted them to be able to go to a place where they could learn to read and to write and be able to do some little bit of math and learn how to interact with other people, because that's a reality of life. And it was important to us that they not go somewhere where they would not be taught truth. Yes, where they would not be taught truth. That's not where we wanted them. We wanted them to be taught truth as much as possible. We didn't want them to be poisoned or misdirected with such a, with the, in their youth and the, their minds that were like little sponges that would take things in. And you know, those are formative years of people's lives when they're children. And what they learn when they're young, those things have a profound influence on their lives. And we wanted what was best for them. And as parents that are here this morning, you know my heart and how we felt. It's one of the reasons why so many now are moving to alternative ways of having their children taught these things, because they don't want them to be in places that cause them harm. Well, this is a simple illustration, but you know something this morning? On a broader eternal scale, that this is what our Father in heaven wants for us as His children spiritually, that if possible, that we could be part of a body, that we could be part of a fellowship, that we could come together and be part of something that is Christ-centered at its core, where there's not an agenda of a personal agenda of man that goes off on its own way, but that Christ and Jesus and God and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is the most important thing above all else when we come together and assemble in the name of the Lord. God, if possible, and I don't want to misrepresent or say something that is outside of the reality for some people. Some people don't have this opportunity. The Lord has grace, and He's a real God, and He's a merciful God, and He's a powerful God. And as Brother Bobby said this morning, God can reach you wherever you are. And I want to also say that the Church of God this morning is made up of, the Church of God is made up of every single blood-washed person, regardless of where they fellowship. The Church of God is made up of every single saved individual. Amen? Amen? That's the Church of God. But if possible, the Lord would like it for us to be able, if we can, to come and be able to assemble in a place that is spiritually safe. A place where we can come and we can learn truth. The whole truth, that we can come and have it be a place where, yes, we're challenged, a place that helps equip us and prepare us for life and for the temptations that we're going to face out in the world, and for the moral depravity that is a reality out in the world, and we're going to go face that. And oh, if possible, it's why the Scripture said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If it's possible, if If the Lord has put you in a place where you have opportunity, where you can come and fellowship in a place that is spiritually safe, a place to learn the truth, a place where you can be challenged, a place that where you can be taught truth as much as possible, a place where you can be encouraged, and a place where you can encourage. See, there's a difference. A place where you can come be encouraged, and a place where you have an inspiration and an opportunity to encourage others. A place where true love is foundational. True love is foundational. Where trust and fellowship and care is at the core of the reason for the fellowship. Where, yes, sometimes the faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yes, sometimes by the help of the Lord, all of the time, the whole of the truth is preached. Whether it is sometimes difficult to receive, and can I say difficult to preach? You know, it's not always easy for the preacher to preach truth. But I have a responsibility to preach truth. I have a responsibility to preach the whole Bible. Whether it's easy to receive or not, because my soul is going to be held accountable on whether or not I allow the Lord to work through me to preach the whole of the gospel. Why is this important? It's because our souls are at stake. It's because one of these days we're gonna pass from this life and we have eternity ahead of us. And the Lord wants us to choose life. He wants us to be exposed to life in many precious and pleasant riches in the chambers of our homes, in our lives, and do what we can to allow our children to be influenced by the whole of truth and be equipped to be able to go out of wherever it is that you're worshiping and be better equipped by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, to go out and face the world and be able to have something on hand that allows you to go to bed at night, lay your head on the pillow and be at peace, because you've done everything that you can to live according to truth that brings life. So yes, this morning, without reservation and absolutely, it matters where we assemble. Why else bring this up? Because I want everybody to come here? Is that why? Do you really think that's why I'm preaching this message? Because I just think everybody needs to come at this address. It's important for everybody to be right here where we can fill the pews. Well, I would really like it if we could talk about building a new chapel that's bigger to hold more people. That would be nice. That's not why I'm preaching this message. That doesn't have anything to do with the burden of this morning. I feel inspired by the Holy Spirit to preach this message because the Lord cares about your life. He cares about your homes. And as we live life, and sometimes the Lord takes us other places, and we move. I moved away from where I used to live, and we move and we go, and the Lord sends us out into the field. That we think about these things and make decisions that can best help bring life to our homes and our lives. The Bible warns about false teaching. and emphasizes the importance of sound doctrine. So I'd like to read a little scripture this morning. This isn't just my opinion this morning. This is founded upon the Word of God. And I'd like to read out of 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Preach the Word. This is Paul exhorting Timothy, a young preacher. I still desire your prayers for me this morning as I endeavor to preach the Word, preach the Gospel. Preach the Word, he told Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. Be willing and ready to preach the truth, whether it's convenient or not convenient, whether it feels like it's in season or out of season. Preach the Word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. But there was more to it than that. He said how to do that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do it in a way that is with love. Preach the gospel and reprove and exhort in a way that is patient and caring and longsuffering. Much forbearance, with the interest in souls and doctrine. Preach the Word based upon the doctrine of the Word of God. Not my opinions, not the rules that I want to make up, not have an organization where select group of people get together and decide what everybody has to do to be a member and have their name on a book somewhere, and here's this list of things, but I really can't find them in the Word of God. It doesn't say that. It says, and doctrine, and he's speaking of the Word of God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time, and I believe we are in that time, when people don't want to hear the whole Word of the Lord. Parts and pieces, yes, but the whole Word of the Lord, they won't endure it. They won't accept it. They'll turn away from it. They won't allow it to continue and keep coming. They'll turn away from it. But this says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They'll be turned unto things that aren't truth. But catch what this says. They still wanted teachers. They still would gather themselves teachers. It didn't just say they would leave all teachers. It didn't say they would just go their own way. But it said they would gather together themselves teachers that would deliver what they wanted to hear. When it said itching ears, it means delivering that was pleasing to the ears, that satisfied that which was more easy to hear. Are you with me so far? I hope you're behind me so far. And so Paul was warning him. There's going to come a time where there's going to be influences against you not to preach the whole Word. To preach whatever you need to preach to keep people coming, to fill the house up. To preach, yes, preach good stuff. Preach the Word of the Lord. Preach bits and parts and pieces of it. But there's going to come a time where if you preach the whole thing, they're going to turn away. There's a verse in Isaiah 4 and 1 that says, in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying unto him, let us
Let us eat of our own bread and wear our own apparel, only we want to be called by your name to take away our reproach.
And I feel like that the truth of that is happening in front of our eyes when people they still want to come. It's not that everybody says, well, we don't want to go to church, we don't want to assemble ourselves together, we don't want to fellowship. We do. We want to come to fellowship. We want to be called by your name. We want to be connected so that we could point back to the fact that, well, no, we belong to this over here to take away our reproach, but we want to do it our way. And so, Paul warns us, for the time will come when people won't endure sound doctrine. And there's many places that you can go, and I am not here to call out specific places, people, or things, because you know what? You know what I found the longer that I have lived? This is an aside. There's a lot of good people out in the world. There's a lot of saved people out in the world. There's a lot of people that love the Lord and they're doing everything they know to do to serve Jesus. I know that. I've seen it. I've experienced the fellowship of it. It's not so much sometimes about the people, but sometimes it's more about who was at the center of a religious organization. It's where it becomes more man-centered than it is Christ-centered. And then what you start to see is places where it becomes more about entertainment and activities that appeal to the ears and to the flesh than it is about the needs of the soul. I want to be fed from the manna that comes from heaven and not the manna that comes from men. And I want to be in a place where the focus is more on the soul than it is appealing to our senses. John, 1 John 4:1 says, try the spirits to see whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are some very talented, charismatic message deliverers that have a way of presenting themselves and presenting parts of the Bible that have a way of drawing people in, and it causes you to feel good and warm and included, and it's pleasing, and everybody can go out feeling good. But oh, folks, brothers and sisters, I want in the end to be in a place where when I get to the end of the way, I will have been able to have the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart and bring life that does not pass away. That I'm able to get a hold of something when I come together and fellowship. I want to be able to fellowship in a place that feeds my soul so that I can be better equipped to live a life that reflects Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ, it's true. The Lord and His Spirit can meet us wherever we are. I am. This message is not encounter to that. But we have a decision and we have a choice to make on where it is that we're going to go and where we're going to fellowship and where we're going to take our little ones that we love and we care about and we want the best for and we want them protected and we want them safe and we want them to learn about Jesus and we don't want them to be taught things that are completely outside of the Word of God, because so many places that are out there you go and they fellowship and they accept and they don't teach against things that are in direct contradiction to the Word of God. things that the Scripture says, they that do such things shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to be left out of heaven. I don't want you to be left out of heaven. I want, by the grace of God, to have a place where we can come. We can be fed in our souls, and that may not appeal to our senses in every way. Maybe things that are difficult to hear sometimes, but oh, how do you put a value on getting your heart and mind around truth that you need for yourself to find life, eternal life? I want that. I want to be able to preach the gospel of Christ without addition and without subtraction by the help of God. I want Christ to be the head of the church. Before we close this morning, I'd like to bring it a little closer to home and talk about this place of worship, because it's where we are. Did you know that the degree by which we are edified here, the degree by which edification occurs in those that come through those back doors and come in here, has way more to do with what the name on the sign is out front. It has way more to do with what we think we know and what we do know. It has way more to do with than who has worshipped here in the past. The degree by which edification by the grace of God occurs in this place and in this chapel has way more to do within any history we can point back to, and if I understand correctly, this place has been here since the late 1800s. But that doesn't bring edification to me if that's all I have. I can't be edified just because we all know people that were edified that worshipped here in the past. People can't come in here and find edification just because we know people, that we're associated with people, we have family, we have history, we have knowledge. Edification here in this chapel is only going to occur if we are willing to allow Christ to be at the center. If we, as members of the body, I don't mean members from the standpoint that we have our name written somewhere, because we don't. No, there's no book that has anybody's name on it about who belongs to the Oak Grove Church of God. No such a thing is out there. Not talking about that. Talking about being a member of the body of Christ. My arm is a member of my body. My leg is a member of my body. My eyes and my ears. And the Lord has set up members in His body to function according as He will. And He calls us all to come in this place and fulfill places in His body that are special, that only you can fill. A special place that no one else can take your place. The degree by which edification happens here, the spiritual safety that can be here, the truth that can be shared here, the learning, the encouragement, the love, the trust, the fellowship,
It's if we will be willing. If I will be willing, if you will be willing, in the here and now, say, Lord, Lord, help me to fill the place you want me to fill. Lord, our place of fellowship that we want to be a sanctuary for you, Lord, it's got to be more than just a name. It's got to be more than history. It's got to be more than head knowledge. Lord, help us to be living lights and examples of what Christ is so that we can come together, encourage one another, and be a place that the Lord is willing to come and abide with us. Are you challenged by that? Because I want you to know that I am. I don't feel like we've arrived. I feel like the Lord still has land for us to possess here in this place. Land for us to possess. I want this to be a place where we can learn and we can grow and we can be encouraged. And it can be a place that if somebody chooses to come here, they find it a place where they can see Jesus and feel and see more than lip service of love, but from the heart care. Yes. Yes, folks. Matters. It matters where and why and what we choose to fellowship. It has an effect on your life and your home. And the danger sometimes is that there's places where multitudes of people go and it can feel so good, and yet leave out some of the very things that we need to live. And we can do the same thing if we are not humble before God and recognize our great need of His presence in this place and be willing to do our part to say, Lord, here am I. To those starting homes, making decisions about these sorts of things, give it consideration. Your lives and the lives of the little ones that the Lord may bless you with are profoundly affected by what you expose them to. And if you choose to make it a priority to be exposed to those things that help equip little ones to face life when they're not so little anymore, this morning, let's all be challenged. Let's all be motivated. Let's all be encouraged to do our part to fill the little place that the Lord has for us in the body of Christ, that by His grace and by His help, that this place that we come to here in La Ronja can be a sanctuary, can be a life-giving source for souls that are thirsty. Pray for me. Because I want to be true to you, and I want to be true before the Father that I serve. Amen.